Protect me, O God, said the psalmist, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Welcome to morning worship at Cramankirk on Sunday the 5th of July. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, always more ready to give than we are to receive, as we listen to your word, as we lift our hearts in prayer, help us to seek that we may truly find, to ask that we may joyfully receive, and to rejoice in the gift of your love, freely offered in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Whether it is a whodunit or a science fiction or a romance or a biography, or maybe one of the great classics like Charles Dickens or Sir Walter Scott, many of us enjoy a good book. And for Margaret and me, one of the delights of the summer season is to visit the bookshop and to choose our summer reading. Stories are important. Stories can make us laugh, stories can make us cry, stories can broaden our horizons, they can deepen our understanding. And one such story in the Bible is the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Judy Arrowsmith is this morning's reader.
The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 24 and verses 1 to 12. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but will go to my country and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring will I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram Naharan and to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. It was toward the evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Amen."
Thank you, Judy. As you would expect in a society where most people couldn't either read or write, the ancient Hebrews were good storytellers. And beyond the latest episode in the life and adventures of Mama Rama Watsi, in Alexander McCall's wonderful series, The First Lady's Detective Agency, or J.K. Rowling's lockdown stories for children, Ichabod, the Hebrew stories were intended to inform as well as entertain. That is, they were written to teach people about the nature and purpose of God and what it means to live with faith. Joseph and his coat of many colours, Moses out in the hills seeing a bush burning, David doing battle with the Philistine giant, Samson and his haircut. Such is the skill of the Hebrew storyteller that even with the barest mention, your mind is already remembering the drama and filling in the detail. Having looked at them a little more closely, the biblical scholar suggests there are three distinctive characteristics to these Old Testament tales. Firstly, they're told with a minimal fuss, little scene setting, very little of the biographical information and detail that modern authors and modern readers enjoy. Secondly, they're concerned with truth, and not just with historical truth as we would understand it, who and what and where and when, but with discerning the truth of human experience, of trying to make sense of the joys and sorrows, the hopes and dreams of living. And finally, although they deal with the present moment, the immediate circumstance, eternity is always in the background, because the Hebrew storyteller is trying to discern something of God's presence, God's purpose, God's promise in any given situation. Last Sunday we heard the strange, disturbing story of God testing Abraham, asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Well, the years have passed. Isaac is now a young man. And today we hear of Abraham asking his servant to arrange a wife for Isaac. So first he's asked to kill his son, and now it appears like the farmer in the children's nursery rhyme, the son needs a wife. Was Isaac consulted? As I said, details are sparse. Arranged marriages are difficult for us, but they happen now and they happen then. And like all good wedding planners, the servant shows a great deal of initiative. He takes a decent retinue of camels and gifts, puts lots of contingency arrangements in place to cover all eventualities before heading off and attending to his master's bidding. The story unfolds. And if you read further, you will learn that meeting with Rebecca and the negotiations which follow culminate in her agreeing to return with him to be Isaac's wife. A happy outcome. Yes, it is. But there are hidden depths to this narrative, because as I suggested, the purpose of the Hebrew storyteller isn't just to entertain, it's also to inform. If at one level, the storyteller is keen for us to notice the big picture in the background of God's purpose being fulfilled to Abraham, that Abraham would be blessed with many descendants. Did you notice? The servant didn't expect everything to fall into place as if by magic. Before embarking on his mission, the servant waited, paused, sought God's guidance, God's help. He prayed before he did anything. And then, only then, did he show on his journey considerable initiative and diplomacy as events unfolded. And finally, he gave thanks to God when Rebecca is found and his prayer is answered. A pattern emerges, a strategy, a plan, if you like, a way of trying to live faithfully and well. The storyteller doesn't strain at high drama. There's no thunderbolts from heaven, no angels telling the servant what to do. Rather, having asked for God's guidance, having asked for God's help. The servant demonstrates a quiet trust that it will be granted. But he doesn't sit back. He doesn't wait for God to do something. Instead, the servant plans as carefully and as thoroughly as he can, and then gets to work. And gets to work trusting that through his work, God will guide and help him. As I said, a pattern emerges, a strategy, a plan, a way for him, for you, for me, to try and live faithfully and well. Yes, at one level, it's a story about an arranged marriage. But if you read it carefully, if you look to the hidden depths, you'll discern it's also about the nature and purpose of God and what it means to live with faith in God's presence and God's promise. For what you discern is prayer and action being brought together. Divine promise set alongside human activity. One is not held up at the expense of the other. Both are woven together in a seamless whole. And because they're woven together, the farmer found a wife. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Your ways are holy and rejoicing in the faithfulness of your love. Your continuing care and concern for us and for all creation, we turn to you in humble adoration. We thank you for the unexplored mysteries of the universe, the fragile earth which is our home. We thank you that in Jesus you came to live among us, sharing all the joys and sorrows of human life. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, prompting, comforting, inspiring. And we thank you for the life and worship of the church, keeping alight the bright beam of faith. With sorrow we confess we do not always honour the trust you place in us, for human greed and injustice contribute to the world's pain, and our lifestyles pollute the land and sea and air you created to be good. But grant us the faith that no wrong we have done is too great for you to forgive, nor any good we have left undone too small for you to pardon. And in the remission of our sins, awaken us to the new life you would have us live. Loving God, in long summer evenings when light lingers and sunsets have time to deepen from pink to red, we marvel at nature's beauty. Yet we also remember and hold before you people throughout our world where the fading light brings not only darkness, but sadness, distress. As our cupboards and fridges are full, and we look forward to sharing a meal with family and friends, we offer you our thanks and praise. Yet we also remember and hold before you the countries where shops are empty, the places where food is too expensive, the lands where the harvest has failed, and those for whom hunger is a daily experience. May these people soon know joy and plenty. Feeling safe and secure in the comfort of our own homes, we offer our thanks and praise. Yet we also remember and hold before you refugees, women who have been trafficked, strangers in a foreign land, people homeless and living in temporary accommodation, those who suffer violence and abuse behind closed doors. May they receive the kindness and help they need. For those of us enjoying good health and strength, we offer our thanks and praise. Yet we also remember and hold before you people coming to terms with a difficult diagnosis, those whose memory is failing, all whose treatment has been delayed by the lockdown, and people who are suffering bereavement and loss. May Christ hold each one in his healing presence and power. Eternal God, as we have come together to worship, send us now to be your people in the world, thoughtful, compassionate, generous and hospitable, followers and friends of our Saviour Christ, in whose name we are glad to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Go now in the love and in the peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and evermore. Amen.